This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. On the first part of this archive edition, we paid tribute to the blaxploitation films of the 70s. Keenan Ivory Wayans is one of today's African-American filmmakers who grew up on those action films. Before Wayans created the TV comedy series In Living Color, he paid tribute to the blaxploitation era with his satire, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. He wrote, directed, and starred in this comedy about a young man who returns home from the army and learns his brother is dead.
Mom, exactly how did Junebug die? Mom.
She's really taking this pretty hard.
Well, is somebody gonna tell me what's going on?
Jack, not too long after you left, Junebug started hanging out with a bad crowd. I mean, he even started selling drugs, Jack. And then things really got bad when he...
Well, what?
He started wearing gold chains, Jack.
Oh, God, no.
It started out as just one or two. And it seemed like every time he'd get some money, he'd go and buy more gold chains. I mean, he was wearing hundreds of them, Jack, hundreds.
Not gold.
Yes, Jack, gold chains and medallions and rings and even his teeth, Jack. You can't imagine what it was like to kiss him. He took a picture just before he died. We put it on the mantle.
Junebug! How do you go to the bathroom with all this stuff on?
I spoke with Keenan Ivory Wayans in 1989 about his film, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
The basic story is about a character named Jack Spade, who is played by myself, who comes home from the army after 10 years and finds out his brother's been killed from an overdose of gold chains. And he decides to do something about it, and he rounds up all of his old heroes, and they go after Mr. Big, who's a big gold distributor in town.
I thought of this as an homage as much as it was a parody. I figured you must have seen a lot of the black exploitation films.
It was exactly that. I lived on those movies. They were, and that was what we did on the weekends. We went down to the theaters with a couple of dollars and saw like three movies and spent the day. So I got a chance to see all those films in their heyday.
One of the retired heroes who gets back into the action after your character says, help me find Mr. Big. This character says, the people said I should retire, that I was too violent, that I was a bad image for the kids. Do you think that that's the rap that black exploitation films got, and do you think that that rap was deserved?
Well, that's the film that is the rap that they got. No, I don't think that it was the rap that they deserved. I think that the term became a blanket term, and it was used to describe almost every film that had a black cast. And what you have in any genre film is good and bad. An example is horror. You have Alfred Hitchcock, which is classic, and then you have Friday the 13th, Part 80, which is basically a formula picture that's slapped together with no real creative integrity designed to exploit an existing audience. And the same thing happened with films that depicted black life. They had the good ones and they had the bad ones. Shaft is not an exploitation movie. Shaft, as a matter of fact, was a monumental film. I mean, if you look at it, it was the first time a black man had been in a lead that displayed him with any aggression or any sexuality. Secondly, it was the first time that a black director had ever directed a major motion picture for a studio. That was Gordon Parks and MGM. It was also the first time that a black had ever won an Oscar for a score of a film, Isaac Hayes. So that was a great accomplishment. And when we look back, Shaft will be classified as an exploitation movie.
So you think in the attempt to get more positive role models, the opposite happened. There were no blacks on the screen for a long time.
I think in the attempt to eliminate the negative, everybody overreacted, and as a result, abandoned the group of films that we had out there that represented us in a very good fashion.
Well, in your film, your character approaches all these former action heroes and brings them out of retirement. You literally did that to make the movie.
You went to Isaac Hayes
and to Jim Brown and to Bernie Casey and asked them to be in your movie. And I was wondering what kind of reactions you got from all of them, telling them that you were going to do this part parody, part homage to the movies that they were in.
Well, everybody who's in the film came on with the same enthusiasm about the movie that I had. They all thought it was funny and all looked at it as a chance to have fun making fun of themselves. There were those that I approached that didn't find it funny.
Your character is asked by one of these retired heroes what makes him think that he could be an action hero, and he says, "I used to be a football player." Mm-hmm. Of course, that's a direct reference to Jim Brown, who's in the movie. Was he? Do you think that was funny, or was he offended by it?
That was the line that made him want to do the movie.
Oh, great!
Yeah, because it epitomized the action films. The image of the black male at that particular time was the large, physically imposing, and very macho black man, and most of them were ex-football players, i.e. Jim Brown, Fred Williamson, Bernie Casey, Rosie Greer, Carl Weathers, you know, all came out of playing football. The transition was into being the action heroes.
When you were taking the screenplay around trying to get money to get it produced and everything, were there any suggestions that in order to really make back the money, you'd need to draw in a white audience, too? In order to get a white audience, there'd have to be more white characters or a white sidekick or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the suggestions was to have Anthony Michael Hall play my stepbrother and have him act black the entire film. And my response was, I have 60 real black people in the movie. Why have, why have him in there acting black, you know?
Keenan Ivory Wayans will hear from his younger brother, Damon, after this break. This is Fresh Air. Shortly after I spoke with Keenan Ivory Wayans in 1989, I interviewed his younger brother, Damon, who is featured in Keenan's film, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Damon hoped to follow in his brother's footsteps and direct and star in his own films, which he's since succeeded in doing. Damon Wayans joined us on Fresh Air before he became a star through the TV comedy series In Living Color. When we spoke, HBO was about to show his first solo comedy special.
You do a lot of character sketches. Like the guy who does heroin and cocaine just before coming to your apartment to meet your parents and pick up your sister on a date.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
Is that based on something that happened or someone you know?
Yeah, I built the story because he actually was so high that he told my mother he sees where my sister gets her big behind from, and he thought he was complimenting her. And so I just thought, I found that very funny.
How old were you when that happened, and where were you watching from?
In the living room, and I was there, and it's just, you know, I was the kid who was very quiet and shy, but I watched everything, and nothing escaped my eyes. So after the person left my house, I would do my own impression of them.
Oh, hey, what's happening, daddy-o? Say, I'm here to pick your daughter up. Yeah, Deidre. Oh, I'm taking her to the movies, man. Oh, we gonna go see Caligula. This is a nice place you got here, Mr. Wayne. This is all right for the project. I especially like this color TV you got here. Let me ask you something. About how much do that weigh? Look, now I know that this is your daughter. See, I understand that father-daughter relationship. I got 5 kids of my own.
You grew up in a housing project. Do you still have family there? Do you go back there at all?
Yeah, my brother just, with the success of Sucker, he bought my mom a house in New Rochelle. So she's in her world now. You know, she's got her own house, and it's 4-bedroom. And, you know, she used to need 4 bedrooms. Now it's just her and my father. And they just walk around looking at the rooms, talking about how they're going to decorate them for my kids and my sister's kids and stuff. So I do go back. I was just back in New York, and I saw my friends. And, you know, I try and stay in touch with the people I grew up with. I think it's important.
Are they surprised that you're in comedy? Did you have a reputation for being funny when you were younger?
Yeah. But, you know, it's just, I think I defied the odds. I wasn't. The trouble that I got into as a kid, I shouldn't be where I'm at right now. I really shouldn't.
What kind of trouble?
Just trying to be, you know, one of the guys. It's all socioeconomic. There wasn't much to do. They closed all the community centers, so we invented our own games, like take the money and run. And we did things for fun that weren't fun, that were against the law. So those kind of things.
I remember when your brother Keenan was on our program, he was saying that he used to think of your mother as being kind of omniscient, that she always knew what the kids were up to.
Yeah, that's the scary thing. It's like I have friends who would like be able to bring home a whole stereo system and tell their mother they found it, a brand new stereo system. I couldn't do that in my house. You know, my parents were hip, and they knew. My father sat me down one day and told me he knew what I was doing, and if I ever got in trouble, don't call home because he's not coming to get me. You know, whereas, you know, my friends, I think they had a deal with their parents to give them a commission or something.
You've been in several movies recently. You were in Colors, Punchline. I think you were in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, that was my first job.
Uh-huh, and I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Mm-hmm. Have you been finding it hard or relatively easy to find good black roles in films?
First of all, when you say a black, that's the problem with Hollywood, is the
right.
Black roles.
Yeah.
Very limited with black roles. And when they think black, automatically it's stereotype. And those aren't the roles that I want to do. I mean, I enjoy doing a street character, but I'll never win an Oscar for doing a street character because they think that's what I am anyway, you know? So I want to do something which is a stretch to me and a stretch to America, you know, and I think I'll have to write that myself.
I think you've said that white writers have a hard time writing convincing parts for black actors.
Yeah, that's because they label it black. And then a black guy comes in, and then they put in their mind, you know, what a black guy is, and it's, hey, man, yo, you ain't behaving, happening, you know, and it's, and you read it, and it just makes you nauseous. When I don't mind someone writing a role, and then they say, okay, now you bring the blackness to it, see, that's cool, but when they write it black, then it's not for me.
Damon Wayans, recorded in 1989. This is Fresh Air.